Hey y'all, this is Dr. Pookie, one of your hosts of the Sexual Healing Podcast, with a quick disclaimer. The sound quality for this episode is less than what we usually like to produce and release. However, there was good content here, and we didn't want to just throw it away. So we're going to go ahead and release it, but there were some technical issues. We were in the middle of a heat wave, so I had a fan going at my back, and apparently it found its way to the microphone, so you hear a wind noise and the occasional popping. However, you can still make out what I'm saying. You just have those occasional distortions and disruptions toward the end of the track that does clear up. Hope that you enjoy the show nonetheless, and I'm going to try out some new theme music as well if I can get that to work, and hopefully you enjoy the show and give us some feedback on the new theme music. It's not set in stone, but it's just something I found that was reasonably funky. So I hope that all of you are having a great week and are taking the very best care of yourselves. This is Dr. Pookie, signing out. Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Sexual Healing Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Dr. Pookie, and at my side today is...
Mr. Darkboy is here again.
Uh-oh, we are Mr. again. Okay.
All right. I just throw that around. Doesn't really mean anything.
I think it does. But, you know, eventually you will tell us your secret. But that's all right.
Right.
How was your week, Darkboy? Oh, I'm sorry, Mr.
Darkboy. This past week was horrible.
It was horrible.
It was horrible. Mine's always about work. I mean, nothing at home was bad. So, but work was just too much work. I mean, you know, they make a bunch of changes, and then people complain about the changes, and now they have to have all these different meetings about the changes they did and what can be improved. And my thing is like, well, don't change anything. You know, don't keep making all these changes and you don't have to be bothered with all this crap. But, you know. So, it all ends on Tuesday. We have a big meeting on Tuesday. And after that, I think things will settle down. So.
Oh, wow.
But, I mean, at home, everything was good. You know, at home, things were good. Just, you know. But that was just, it just took an enormous amount of time this week. So. Oh, and I've started back on my my workouts. I have started back up. So I thought, okay. So I'm a little bit sore, but that's all right.
Wow. Okay. Well, I mean, that sounds...
Yes, how are you doing? Oh, sorry.
I'm just saying, you know, I mean, it's a little rough with everything, but it actually sounds like a pretty good week. So, you know, it's all relative, I guess. But we'll see. Yeah.
Yes. So how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. It was a strange week. Lots of just working, trying to get this product done and out on the market, and it's been interesting trying to stick to the original plan and not indulge any whims that come up about, oh, well, I could do it like this. It's like, no, that's not what we said we're doing. I've been pretty good about shutting down things that could add lots of time to the project timeline. I'm trying to hit a deadline that's somewhat soft and squishy, which is basically end of July. And otherwise, you know, it was a decent week. It was pretty busy. Had some stuff going on around me with you know, close friends and things like that I'm not entirely privy to. I know that they've happened, and I've been really busy. Like every night there's been something going on. You know, we had the live dinner thing on Friday. Another event.
Oh yes, I forgot.
it was nice. And the best part was that I was largely a spectator. I didn't do any of the prep work. So, you know, I kind of threw my client into the deep end of the pool, and I swear they swam. So,
oh, they did it.
Yeah, it really went well. That project, it really, my role in that regard had run its course, so it was time. And it was also just a function of self-care, really letting that go. And so it's just been a really busy week. Even like last weekend, after, I can't remember what day we recorded, but I had like two parties on Saturday, and you know, didn't get home till almost 2 o'clock in the morning. Just like, okay. It was, yeah. And it's, you know, and this week it's just been a whole lot of activity, fun stuff. I haven't had to be a professor Friday. I had to be a professor and for the morning, and that was pretty cool. Exhausting, but cool. So yeah, it was a mixed bag this week. Very busy, but a good week. So, you know, I can't complain. So I'm happy to be back chatting with our listeners. And
yeah,
I guess after that, I should probably just let a brother slide on into the blacklist. So
right.
Take it away.
Well, this week, I think I had the title right, we were going to do our favorite barbecue foods or comfort food type of thing.
Yeah, cookout foods.
Yes, cookout. See, to me, I think barbecue, cookout, same thing.
Yeah, same thing. Generally,
yeah, you know, all mine, you know, even I've done this vegetarian thing this year, but none of my stuff is vegetarian, so on my list is vegetarian this week.
Okay, well, you
which
know.
You know, yeah, it's hard to think of cookout food as being vegetables. It's just hard, so I imagine I am definitely not alone in that.
Well, yeah, that. Big Mama ain't down with no grilled zucchini and, you know, grilled pineapple, and that. She's, you know, I would imagine the typical folk at a cookout be like, "What's this bullshit? Be grilling no apples up in this bitch," you know. So,
and I mean, like I said, I'm doing the vegetarian stuff, and I'm like, "There's no," I mean, I can't do it. So,
But a vegetarian can have fun at a cookout. There are a lot of options out there for a vegetarian.
Exactly, but they're not under my top three.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah. So, my number three is burger.
Good old burger. All right.
Yep, good old burger. Okay. And most of the time, I don't even need a bun. I just give me that burger, just give me the patty, just the way it is.
Now, at the cookouts you attend, are the patties big enough to, like, cover the bun? Or are they them little kibbles and bits patties?
No, they're big enough to cover the bun.
Okay.
We're not trying to do no McDonald's shrink as you cook. Type of deal.
You know, nowadays as an adult, because I have the option, I make my patties big as hell, and I am known to put an egg in that damn meat so it doesn't draw up. So what you see is what you get. But I grew up eating all them little itty bitty ass patties that start out looking pretty decent, like it was the size of the bun, but then by the time it finished cooking, you had damn near an inch.
You have lots of shrinkage.
All around. Yeah, it was like an inch ring of bread all outside of the patty. And I said, what's this? I always felt just so low budget with them burgers. But, you know, they were a cultural staple. But I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, burgers, you know, that's you know, that was just happened to be my number three.
Okay.
You know.
All righty.
What's yours?
My number three is the good old-fashioned rib.
Oh, okay.
You know, as a kid, I could not stand ribs. I just never got the point. It was so much work for so little meat. and I just wonder if, as a child, I was picking, like, the wrong ribs. Or
I think so.
Because I was a kid, I would get, like, the ribs that barely had any meat on them because they, like, you don't need to eat that much.
Mm.
But as an adult, you know, when my crew came together and two of them brothers grilled their asses off, it was, like, ribs damn near every weekend or at least twice a month, one of them be like, hey, I'm cooking ribs, you know, I got the grill fired up. So it was always ribs, tri-tip, you know, even those what is it, the country ribs, the boneless ones, you name it. But I mean, just a regular slab of ribs, them damn things were just, oh. And then I realized it's all about how you make them, and so I fell
so you
in
just
love.
Were getting them good when you were
Yeah, and I hate to do the family like that, but...
I was just going to say, yeah, am I shading them or what? Am I saying that?
And then when I actually learned how to really make ribs, I was looking at the family a little sideways. I was like, why those in the oven? Like, you can put them in the oven to tenderize them after they've grilled, but not before. So it was just very strange. My homeboy, who will probably be on the show at some point down the road, a mutual friend of ours, taught me how to make ribs. And so I have been able to duplicate his process and have had some really good ribs that I've turned out.
Okay. Now, have you told the family? Or?
Well, I've made ribs for the family. I'm the designated rib maker now, if we have them. Although I got to keep my grandmother, waiting for them ribs because she'll throw them in the oven before I even know. Like one time I came over and she had them in the oven cooking. I'm like, what am I smelling? And she was making them in the oven. I said, no, what are you doing? I said, I will put them in the oven later to steam and tenderize them with my mop sauce. But for now, get them things out of the oven. But they had already been in there for like 35, 45 minutes. It was over. So I basically put them on the grill, and it was interesting because I was able to baste them and give them a little more flavor, a different, you know, as opposed to cooking them and really just keeping them moist while they're on the grill, making sure the fire isn't flaring up. Because I will say, don't get no cheap-ass ribs that are just real fatty, because that's a disaster, because that fat just keeps that fire flaring up. I don't care if you got the damn hood closed or not. I had an incident where them ribs just, they were blackened. And I don't care what I did to that grill, it was just fire everywhere. And it was just, I just had to throw that rack away, which broke my heart. Because I spent good money. Actually, no, those are some cheap-ass ribs. I didn't buy those. So, now somebody almost fucked up a batch of my ribs that were some good ones. And I said, these things are beautiful. And how dare you? Get away from my grill. So, ribs were my number three. Yeah, I'm sitting here like, okay, dude, you're talking a lot again. What's your number two?
My number two are ribs. So
okay. All right. Okay. Now, do you like your ribs dry without sauce, or must you have sauce?
No. I can't do dry.
Oh, gosh. You haven't had some of the ribs then. Have you had our Have you had our friend's ribs?
I think I did, although I don't remember them being...
His don't need sauce. Half the time, he won't even make sauce.
Okay, and, I probably did have some. Probably just didn't...
His ribs are deadly. We went to Vegas once, and we had a big old Rubbermaid thing, like a good 18 inches by maybe 10 or 12 inches, and about maybe 5-6 inches deep. It was probably half full of ribs. There were about maybe 4 slabs of ribs in there, cut up. My homegirl was sitting in the front seat of the town car. She dogged them ribs out. I mean, dog them out. We got to like Baker, and we were like, girl, can we get a rib? And she was, I was like, no, you didn't. She had dogged the ribs. It was just, it was so sad. I said, okay, see, you tripping, sister. But we understood. They were good. But they had no sauce. There was no sauce in sight. They were just, they were just banging. Okay. Well,
you're number two.
My number two is potato salad.
Okay.
Which, again, is one of those things where not just anybody can make it. I have come across some terrible potato salads in my day. But, again, our friend that is a grill meister gave me his potato salad recipe. And it is fabulous. Although I make mine a little different than he makes his. I've made a few adjustments to my taste. But, yeah, definitely potato salad. It's cool. It kind of settles you down in the heat. It's good. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what is your number one?
My number one is good old chicken. You know,
chicken!
There's no way that, you know, I think everybody's going to be chicken. I mean, well, in my mind, I think everybody's going to be chicken, black or white, whether you're black, white, or anything in between. That's just my feeling because, you know, I think that's what you see more at barbecues is chicken. That's like the basic go-to. Everybody goes to it. Everybody thinks about it. At least that's my opinion. But, yeah, if you give me a leg or a thigh, I am good.
Okay. In terms of the grill with chicken, I guess I really like a leg on the grill. I'm always down for a wing, but only if the skin is like, you know, crispy and caramelized. but yeah, because the breast, you know, it can get dried out on you. So yeah, a drumstick is usually quite nice, as is a thigh, although thighs always confuse me. I'm not sure how to eat those, which is probably just an act of rebellion because I grew up eating them often. So yeah, but that's my little twisted tale for another time. Okay, so my number one.
Your number one, yes.
Might be a little surprising.
It's not chicken, I'm assuming. So.
No, it's not chicken. It is a piece of burger. I love a grilled burger.
Okay, so my number three.
Yeah, now it's not to say that the only thing that can be at the barbecue or the cookout is a burger. You got to bring Modinette to the party. However,
yes,
if you don't have a burger, I'm looking a little cross-eyed. Now, I like my burgers, as I said, big, thick, and juicy. I also like to take some cheese and grate it up and build the patty around it. Also dice up some mushroom and put it in there in the middle. Also a little Lipton soup, onion soup mix as a nice base. And then I put some cayenne pepper in there, put a little funk in the trunk. And I do my mushroom cheeseburger that way. Sometimes I'll make the little pocket, which is like emulating this restaurant that I used to go to in undergrad that used to have like a grilled burger with cheese and mushroom stuff, grilled burger. I think it was mushrooms in there. I know it was cheese. And I've since taken that and done my own thing to it because I'll put minced garlic in there as well. Sometimes I'll just actually put all the ingredients, mix it in together, and then just cook it as a straight up patty. So the cheese is kind of distributed throughout, as is the mushroom. So it's not a typical burger. If I'm in the mood.
Yeah, but it sounds good though. So
yeah, it's kind of ghetto gourmet, as I like to call it. I put a little something extra on it, you know, because I've done it with the soup mix, which you don't need any more seasoning after that. But I do put in the cayenne or the crushed red because I like spicy. But yeah, just, you know, if I can mix some cheese in with a burger, maybe some diced peppers. Then it's almost like the burger on its own. All you got to do is put some barbecue sauce over the top of that thing, and I'm good to go. And that's how I like my burger. So,
okay. Yeah,
Costco has excellent ground beef for that, like their regular patties that they make in that thing, and it's just like $12, $13 for like 3 pounds of ground beef, and they've already formed it in a patty, so to speak. That's how I like to roll. <It's> like, if I can use that, it's just a little egg is set. You know, so because that way I have predictable shrinkage. I don't want to leave it to chance. Right. But okay, I'm gonna get off my burger and we should carry forth. So I don't know. Send us your top three barbecue cookout items. You can send it to us on Facebook. We never ask you guys to send us lists or things like that. What's your blacklist look like? So send that on in. If there are any other past backlists that have been interesting to you, and you'd be like, well, they ain't asked me. We're asking you now. You know, favorite actors, actresses, black folks you love to hate, whatever it may be. Send it to us. Twitter, PodSexual, or you can send it to us on Facebook at Sexual Healing from Top to Bottom. So, moving us into our main topic.
Yes.
So, this one, I guess we are in a bit of a relationship
mode? Or... yeah.
Yeah, this is like the second week in a row we're doing something dealing with relationships. But, you know, that is a topic of interest to many.
Exactly.
So, yeah, so, you know, can we ever really finish it? Not so much. So, this week we're going to be talking about relationship readiness. In particular, are you ready for Mr. Right?
Yeah.
So you want to kick us off, Dark Boy, or shall I?
I think you shall.
Okay. I'm always ready to do that. Okay, so I, of course, had my own ideas about what it takes to be ready for a relationship, and it's debatable, obviously. We all have our own things. But I did a little research and generally found that the things that I thought, and I suspect that Dark Boy thought as well, were pretty much confirmed by a lot of the quote-unquote experts out there. So I found like about 10 major characteristics of readiness for a relationship. And so I think we probably won't walk through it as a list, but we'll probably, in the course of our discussion, hit each of them. But the first thing that, you know, I feel is important to diagnosing whether you're ready for a relationship is that you have a vision for it, and not just the relationship, but your life in general. How does this person fit? Not so much sitting there daydreaming like, oh yeah, in 2 years we're gonna have kids and this and that, but just what does your life look like? What is your day-to-day? How is your life set up? Do you go to work and come home? Do you work from home and then go out into the world in the evening? How does that partner fit into that arrangement and how you've had your life set up? And really just having a clear vision of that, because that's something that I tell clients in my consulting business. What is your vision for your business? And a lot of them don't really have one. And I found that a lot of people don't have one for arguably... If not the most important relationship in their life, at least in the top two or three of important relationships in your life, that you really don't have an idea of who you are in that and how this person fits and how you guys fit. So, I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that's a good one, because I do think you have to kind of see, or kind of, I guess, foresee. Mm-hmm. Being in a relationship, I don't think necessarily being focused on one person that you want to be in a relationship with, but at least I, being in a position where you can see yourself in a relationship with someone who's the right person. So yeah, I agree with that one.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's interesting. Very seldom do I see this fully complete person. It's typically a presence. I'll see myself sitting on the couch, you know, kind of snuggled up. I'm reclining, laid up on him, watching TV, yeah. And we're just kind of hanging out, or we're both reading a book in a similar, you know, position. But really just having that time where I feel like, okay, we both bust our asses and we get home and that's our time. And we can decide to either, you know, we're going to spend it together, or we're in our own separate spaces because that's what we need. But I kind of see us doing the mundane stuff. And I see us, you know, cracking jokes and saying crazy shit, whatever it is, to one another, and just laughing about all of it. That's kind of what I envision, and very seldom do I see a clearly defined body. So it's not like there's a type that's there. I very seldom see a face. I've seen a beard, you know, or the silhouette of a beard, or, you know, possibly what appears to be a bald head, because those are two things that I'm definitely into. But I don't, there's not this whole thing of, oh yes, my vision is this perfect man, blah, 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 blah. It's like, no, it's a man who's present and accountable and is into me like I'm into him, and we are happy to build us, whatever that looks like. He may be into shit that I have no interest in, but I'm willing to be open to it, to expand my horizons, and also be there in support of my man. So it's not just love on my terms, where we just do all the stuff that I want to do. It's like, no, babe, what do you want to do? What interests you? Oh, okay, you want to do woodworking? Well, baby, I will give you, I will drop you hints about what you can build, but I'm not going to sit there and watch you work on wood. Now, if you want me to come out there and work on your wood, we can work on that. But otherwise, right. I'm going to leave you to your hobby and your diversion. And if I need you, I will call for you. You know. So it's like, yeah, it's not this thing of, I don't see this one person that just looks a certain way. I don't know if he going to be black, white, brown, yellow. I have no idea.
But when you talked about, you said you don't see a body.
Yeah.
Even though you say you want the ones that you say your brother, you can climb or something like that. You don't see somebody that's tall or.
Yeah. Like an offensive lineman perhaps, or a defensive lineman, you know, not quite an NBA center, because they tend to be a little on the slim side, but yeah, something, you know, thick I can tussle with. But even in that context of any sort of vision I might have, there's not a particular look for the guy. Like, it'll be, I'll see myself with my head, you know, nestled in the armpit, or, you know, the side of a chest. And obviously he has some sort of size, but he's not necessarily the ideal size.
Okay.
You know, he could be just six feet and 170 pounds. You know, he could be 6 feet and 270. I don't know. But whenever I do have a vision, there's just a presence there. And to me, it's just very comforting presence. There's a passion and an energy and an attraction there. But it's not for these specific features of this guy. It's just, he's there, and he's the one for me. But I don't know what he looks like. And he may be the total opposite of what I'm drawn to. So it's hard to explain. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I mean, so for me, it's really about the characteristics and the character integrity of the guy, you know, which is kind of like the second thing that I saw about having requirements, like, what are you looking for? And not so much, oh, he got to have his skin tone, and he can't have this, and his breath got to, you know, that's some extra shit that's just not necessary in a lot of cases. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. And I think a lot of people run into trouble with that because they expect perfection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, one of the things that I had read when I was looking up, when we're talking about discussing this episode, one of the things said, you have to be happy being single to be ready for a relationship. And I thought that was kind of interesting, because it basically, they were saying, if you're not happy being single, you're not going to be happy in a relationship. And I thought, okay, that's true. I mean, I agree with it. Mm-hmm. I know before I met my husband, I was not looking at the time. I wasn't looking. Mm-hmm. And I was very happy being single. You know, I didn't feel like incomplete. I didn't feel like I was missing out. I didn't feel like, you know, I didn't feel this pressure to be in a relationship. And, oh my God, I'm single and I'm, you know, in my 30s, and I'm, you know, I didn't think that. Mm-hmm. So I was very happy being single. So I agreed with this one. So
yeah, I came across a similar thing. And it's interesting, because I think for a while I was somewhat disgruntled being single, and it wasn't so much me as much as the people around me that were just disgruntled about my singleness. And so the more I've kind of really just focused on myself and really getting in touch and growing and expanding my viewpoint on life and just evolving, I've actually gotten much more happier being single. And
okay.
And I'm hoping that when, you know, when the right guy does come along for me, that I'll be able to recognize him and appreciate him for who he is and not who I had hoped he would be. which I think is a big part of really being ready for a relationship, because, you know, a lot of us, we're human, so we carry baggage, you know, we carry drama from previous relationships, and that can be a real relationship killer.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, because one of the other things says that your ex, you're ready for a relationship when your ex is no longer a factor. So, you know, that's, I think that kind of relates to the baggage you just mentioned.
Well, yeah, I mean, certainly, you know, still having feelings about someone that is not healthy for you or it's just not going to happen is definitely a deal breaker for being in the next relationship. But I also feel like if you've had some, there's a reason that person's an ex, and it could be because some bullshit went down. And I do feel like we have to find a way to really learn the lessons from those past experiences and be able to move forward. So it's I mean, I've had relationships.
I was gonna say, this thing that I found, I mean, it, you know, it does say, obviously, it's not a cut and dried thing if there's children or anything or mutual commitments or something like that. But it, this did not apply to if you're like, you know, on friendly terms with your ex. So, so I didn't, I think the way I put it probably could be misinterpreted, I guess. It's like, no, it's just, you know, they're friends now, it's not a big deal. Or
it's like, can you be cordial?
They're completely out of your life, whatever. Yeah, exactly. If they are still in your life, you're cordial, and it's not a big deal.
I agree. I mean, I do think that sometimes I've encountered guys that are just like, oh, you know, if you mention their ex, it's like fighting words. And so I
are they triggered?
Yeah, and I sit there and I kind of say, well, I know that person was probably, there was some pain there, whether it was legitimately caused by them or it was manufactured in your mind as a result of what happened with them. I'm not there to judge that. What I do hope to see is that you understand what went wrong in that relationship and that you're willing to take your lessons from that and grow in the ways necessary. Because maybe they did some shit to you and you legitimately have a reason to be upset, but there's a good chance that they didn't do it immediately in a relationship and you allowed some stuff to happen that you wouldn't normally allow, and the shit got out of hand, and eventually you woke up one day and were like, fuck this and this motherfucker, blah blah blah. And that's, you know, it, we're human, that happens.
Sure does.
I've been there. Not quite to that degree, but I've been there where you kind of wake up and you're just like, this motherfucker, you know, and you just, everything becomes a little more clear. I would hope that you're able to take those experiences and also recognize that, hey, what finally broke your back was there early on in the relationship and you just didn't recognize it, or you allowed it to grow. Now, in the case of being in a relationship with someone who's abusive and very talented in doing it and very creative and very deceptive and everything else, I would expect some trauma there. And I would expect you to check me if I do things that kind of trigger those memories for you. At the same time, I would hope that you don't go overboard with it, where you make these inferences 3 and 4 steps down the road, and it's like, no, that's okay. I hadn't thought about that at all, you know, because I've had that happen. And so, I mean, I've had it happen in the middle of conversations. I've had it happen in the middle of sex. It's happened in a lot of places, and I'm just like, oh, no. You got some work to do. I'm going to get up out of here. I don't have time for this, you know. It's like, I do, but I'm not going to allocate it. I have time for peace and for love to grow between us, but not the conflict, not the crazy. I'm not doing this.
Not drama.
Yeah, you know. And so I think one of the things that that really helps with being ready for a relationship is that you're kind of satisfied with your life and the work that you're doing. I've come across some folks that are just like, I want to be in a relationship. I want to be in a relationship so bad. And I'm like, okay, but you're not happy being single in the sense that you don't know what to do with yourself. You don't have a very high opinion of yourself. So why would anyone want to be with you? And that you can't stand being alone in your own company. That's not a good thing. That does not suggest that you're ready for a relationship. Just in my humble opinion.
I agree with that too.
Yeah, I mean, I've dated a couple of guys that were very stifled in their careers. One of them, we kind of fell out because some good things were happening for me and they weren't for him.
Oh. Wow.
And
jealous, a little bit of jealousy there.
Yeah, the eyes got a little green. And I said at one point, I said to him, I was like, you know, at no point in this relationship, from my perspective, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, have I thrown my success in your face. I have always shared it with you like it was a win for us. Even when we had only been dating like 2 months, I always gave you your props for being there, for being an ear that heard me when I rambled about stuff, if I had to bitch about something, if I just had to work a thought through. You listened, and I always gave you props for that. So I don't understand how you think I'm throwing my success in your face. And he struggled with that a bit.
Okay.
I'm not gonna lie, he struggled with that. Eventually, we did have to separate.
Part you go your own separate ways.
Yeah, I just, you know, there was potential there. I really liked him, but I couldn't turn down my light for him. So I want someone whose light is shining bright. It's like,
yeah, that kind of sounds like maybe one of the other times where, I don't know if it was a question or just one of our, we were just discussing it, mm-hmm. where, you know, some people don't like it if the partner that they're with makes more money than them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we talked about that last week. Yeah.
Was it last week?
Last week, week before, something like that.
Yeah, it was pretty recent. And that sounds like one of those type of things where it's that type of thing where it's like, well, they're supposed to always have the number one or the best or whatever. And mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm like, well, that's not going to be a good thing. That doesn't make a good relationship.
Yeah, because I always feel like anything I'm doing after, once the relationship matures to a certain point, it's no longer about what I've accomplished. It's about what has been accomplished by us for us. It's no longer just me. And I've only gotten to that mindset really once or twice in the past. And obviously I'm still single, so it wasn't meant to be. But yeah, it is strange. That competition thing is,
yes,
it's deadly. I mean, and that's the whole thing about, are you content with your life? You know, the way you're living, the relationships that you have, your career, are you still in school? Are you happy with that course of action? Do you know where you're trying to get to? And are you on the path? And if you're not there yet, am I allowed to be a part of that journey? Because it's not, if I do something or I succeed, I feel like it gives me another opportunity to be of assistance and a good teammate to you in whatever you're trying to achieve, because your dreams are my dreams. If you know, if you're the right guy, we're going to overlap, or at least I'm going to take on some of the things that you desire. And it bugs me when there's kind of that conflict there. That's problematic to me. And I've encountered that where when we really got to a certain point in relationship, he didn't want to tell me what he really wanted to do. I was supposed to figure that shit out. And I'm sitting here like, I don't have time to figure out your life goals. I have my own to contend with.
See, and I don't understand that. I don't understand when people do that. I don't get that.
Yeah, well, he basically felt like his goals weren't going to measure up to mine, so it was just best that he kept them to himself. And I just, when I finally did pull it out of him, I said, okay. I was like, so is it that you think the goal is too low? Like, have you aimed high enough in your mind, or do you feel like what your goal is supposed to somehow be unworthy of my affection? And it was a combination of the two.
It's not that they didn't have the confidence to think that their goal, that they were able to accomplish the goal. Is that?
There was probably a little bit of that there too, but he actually, he had a goal in mind, but he felt like, because, you know, I'm Mr. PhD, entrepreneur, professor, all these other things, and he's basically blue collar. He felt like anything that his final destination was going to pale in comparison to what he thought I would want in a partner, which I just said, I have said to you what I want in a partner. Did you not believe me?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you believe you're not him? Because I never say anything about how much money you have to make. I said, I said how much money I want to make, and that becomes our money to live our lives. So you kick in what you can kick in.
But yeah.
I have a certain vision for my life and things that I'd like to be able to do. And if you're with me, then we will do them together. Or either, if you don't want to do those things, then maybe you're not the person for me. Or we will do them and you contribute what you can and just accept the blessing. So I don't know. It gets challenging. And I think a lot of that, because actually with that particular guy, going back to that point, he did finally express his ultimate goal. And I said to him, I was like, do you feel like you can aim higher than that? And he's like, no. This is what I want to talk to you about. It's like, no. I'm just asking you, because anytime you lay out goals, we sometimes shoot a little short. It's like, I didn't hear anything from you that was just outrageous. I said, normally when we set goals, there's something outrageous. I said, so is there anything that you've maybe left out or didn't push hard enough, far enough on it? And he said, no. And I said, well, I think one thing that maybe you could add to your goals was to become a regional manager in his vocation. And he said, would that make you happy? And I said, if it made you happy, it would make me happy. It's like, but if you want to do what you set out and that's it, if you're happy, I'm happy.
Okay. I can kind of see how maybe that might be a little bit, I don't know.
Well, because
a little off. I don't want to say off-putting, but I can't think of the right word. But well, if he thought about it a long time, and then it's like, well, you didn't do it high enough. That might be a little bit upsetting, especially right when he's revealing it. I mean, I'm not trying to cause any drama between us or anything, but I could, you know.
Well, maybe I was not being a boyfriend, and I was more in coaching mode at that point. Highly possible. But this is also the man that looked at me cross-eyed and said, really? You think that's going to happen? On one of my goals. So I said, oh.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. Like, there is some outrageousness in my goals. Because if I fall short of outrageous, I've still gotten pretty damn far. I felt like him working a job for 30 years, he's going to get to where he wants to by default. And I just saw other talents in him. And as your man, if you are selling yourself short, if there is more that could be done, there are other directions you could go in, am I not supposed to at least bring those things up? Maybe nudge you in that direction if that's what you really want to do and you're afraid to say it? And maybe I was completely wrong and presumptuous, but I just felt like, babe, there's some other things you could do. Like, stuff you haven't even tapped into in yourself. And No offense intended. Just right. I thought that that would be something that would be really cool, you know, for you to achieve, because certainly that's something I can help you with if you want to accept my help. And so
okay. Yeah. Yes. Well, yeah. Well, that ties into something that I had also seen in my research, which I think everybody knows, mm-hmm. is communication. You know, when it says communication is the backbone of relationship in terms of keeping both partners feeling heard and understood. Mm-hmm. And, you know, nobody can read your mind. They shouldn't expect you to read theirs. And so that's like, you know, pretty important.
I think nuance in communication is so huge. I mean, because certainly in retelling, just perfect example, in retelling the story to you, you're like, well, I can see why he might be a little taken aback by that, you know, and I had to kind of share the nuance of it, because obviously if you were watching the conversation, you could have seen my body language, my inflection, you know, the fact that I kind of, you know, took his hand and mine and looked him dead in his eyes and said, I feel like there are other things you can do if that's what you want to do. And I don't want to see you sell yourself short. And it's not like I'm saying you got to go back to school and get a master's degree or anything like that. It's just like, you know, so it's that nuance in communication where those skills to communicate, not just in general, but within an intimate relationship where it's very clear that, yeah, something I've just said to you might be seen controversially, but it was never intended to hurt you. And I mean, I'm always going to be that person that pushes my partner. It's just, I can't help it. It's as soon as something is said, my brain goes into overdrive, like, oh yeah, well you could do blah, 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 blah. And I've learned to keep those ideas to myself unless the opening to share them presents itself. So I would certainly still do that in a relationship. And I would hope that over time, my partner would understand that's just how he is. And this is how he's showing his love. And okay, I might choke him later. But let me hear him out. And then I have to remind him later that I appreciate what you're trying to do, baby, but that's not me. You know, it's just like telling somebody how to dress. It's just like,
yeah,
like he got clothes on, he don't stink. What? Now, if he wearing 20 colors and shit, okay, baby, we need to talk. Because I'm just going to let you know now, if I bring you home, my mama and my sister are going to let you have it. My brother is going to let you have it. He will probably get you drunk, but he's going to talk about your ass the whole time and after you leave. So I'm just letting you know. But I love you as is, but okay. But I do ask that if I have to go somewhere a little more black tie, I'm receiving an award or whatever, and you have to accompany me, I'm dressing your ass. I don't trust you. You know, let's just negotiate that now. What do you need from me to make this okay for you? You know, it's like there have to be things in there that are kind of negotiated. But yeah, I think communication is so huge, and a lot of people don't understand how to do that. I think a big part of communication, certainly effective communication, is advocating for yourself. Can you assertively do that? Can you get your points across? If you're very emotional, can you keep the emotion in check enough or channel it enough so you are still articulate enough to be heard? When you speak, are people left with more questions than they started with after you make a declarative statement? It's like, you know, I've dated some guys where it's just like, I thought I understood where you stood on this, but now I have more questions than before. What the hell did you just say to me? I don't know. But yeah, but you brought communication up. Did you have any more thoughts about communication?
No, but the other thing kind of related to what you said, I mean, I guess kind of related to it, or what we're talking about, is that Another thing they said, you got to have some semblance of a path in life, so it's kind of goes along with the goal setting and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found that they said it's difficult to plan a future with somebody who has no future plans for themselves.
Oh gosh, you know, yes.
Things change, life throws curveballs at us, but nobody can be expected to have it all figured out. But giving it a try is a good start. So I thought, okay, yeah, that makes sense. You know, you want someone that's got something. Always at least trying, you know, trying to do, you know, do better, be better, you know, something.
Yeah, it's something actually that I had a conversation with your husband about once. Just this idea of having plans. Because he basically said to me, it seems like my plans don't include having a partner. And I said, that's not true. And
that your
said,
plans.
Yeah, my plans. It's from his perspective, from the outside, it seemed like my plans did not involve having a partner, where it was really remotely important to me. And I said, well, that certainly is not my intention. But I do feel like the life that I would like to build for myself does have a lot of room for a partner. I said, yeah, to a certain degree, my partner may have to share me with the world if everything goes according to plan. But at the same time, by the time I've gotten there, I would hope that he and I have kind of built our space where he knows this is our shit and the rest of this is outside of it. So even if it's just us sitting there or lying in the bed together, staring in one another's eyes for 10 minutes before we pass out because we're exhausted, he understands in that moment that I am there with him and that I love him and that he is what matters. And sometimes work and our aspirations can make it seem like it's not a priority, and I understand that. I've had relationships end because I was far too ambitious for those partners. But I found that my plans really dwarf their plans. You know, you had the one brother, his plan was basically to kick it. I said, oh, okay. Well, I don't mind fucking you. That's not the problem. But if that's all we're doing, I will call you when I need a good fuck. I'm going to put my drawers on and go home now. There was the other guy that basically, how do I describe it without giving away details? He fashioned
it's
himself.
It's all right.
He fashioned himself to be a professional athlete. And I said, okay, well, what's your plan to get to the pros? And there really wasn't one. It was work hard. I said, work hard at what? Because you grown at this point, so I don't.
Yeah, but what are you working on?
Yeah, I'm like, what exactly? What are the things that are keeping you from the pros at this point? And he really couldn't articulate that. And I said, okay, well, I would love to be of assistance. I would love to help if there's some small things within our time together, the space we might share together. That can help you along the way. As your man, I'm happy to do that, and I want to do that. So if it's a question of me asking you, how did things go at the gym today? Did you top your personal best? Did you get that extra set of reps in? You know, did you take a tenth of a second off of your 40, you know, speed? Or whatever it is there something I'm supposed to ask you about? Is there some food I'm supposed to slap out your hand because you just can't help yourself, but it's very detrimental to the career you want? To all those questions, it was just deer in the headlights. So you know that shit didn't last. Because I'm doing very specific things to advance my goals and my career as I see it, and he really saw himself as being outside and not fitting. And I said, I don't know how else to fit you in or to make you feel like you fit. I said, I'm in my early 30s. I'm hustling.
That's when you're supposed to be hustling.
Yeah, it's like I don't know if you understand the significance of me seeing you or talking to you on the phone 5-6 nights a week. I don't do that with anybody but you and my mama. It's like, I don't, and with my mama, it is not even at night, it's like during the day. She'll call like, hey, how you doing? I'm like, I'm good, how you doing? You know, but I specifically make sure that I sit my black ass down every evening or night and call you. Or that we are together 3-4 nights a week, and we might talk after we go to our respective homes. You're the only person I do that with. So for you to say that you don't see how you fit, you're not paying attention. Or you have a different idea of the type of relationship that you want. You want somebody that's sitting around waiting on you. That can't be me. I will meet you, but I ain't waiting on you. I will meet you so we can do our thing in the midst of our things. It's like, but I'm not going to sit around 3 and 4 hours, half a day, all day waiting on you. Please. No. I got shit to do. So that was where we fell apart. So I don't know. Listeners might write in like, dang, Dr. Pookie, you too harsh on a brother. Okay. If I am, I am. It's a requirement. I don't expect you to be a CEO. I don't expect you to be a multimillionaire. I just expect you to know where the hell you're trying to get to and how I fit. And whether I want to fit into what you want me to fit into. I broke up with a great guy over that because I couldn't fit into what he wanted at that time. Now I could, but back then I couldn't. Shit, now I'm like, hey, if you wasn't married, it'd be on. I'd be riding that man like, let me stop. Rubbing that bald head, braiding that beard for him, he'd be all right. He'll be real good.
He'll be fine.
And y'all would like him, too. He's a sweetheart. He'd pass muster with your husband, because I know he's going to grill anybody who attempts to be in my world. So I've already prepared myself for that.
He should do it within reason, not scaring people away. But
I'm going to tell him he can't be running folks off unless he has cause.
Yeah.
Yeah. So... It's like, it's just like the very few guys that have met my family. I'm like, now look, this is huge. You need to understand, people don't meet my family. They just don't. And it's like, you will be number 3 that meets the family, okay? Understand that. They gonna wear your ass out. I'm just letting you know now. Because they're crazy. And we love fiercely. So, prepare. And besides, if they're giving you a hard time, it means that they like you. You got potential. If they just sweet and smiling, it's like, oh, shit. I already know. They're like, yeah. They look at me like, why are you bringing him around here? Because it's happened.
Okay.
I'll leave it at that. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Where were we? Oh, gosh. Oh, one of the things, I know we talk about communication. Another part of that is just, like, do you understand, like, how to date? Like, getting the necessary information, presenting yourself to a point where your representative does their job, and then you get to the real. And also, once you are in a relationship, do you understand how to build and maintain it? And that's where that whole baggage thing comes in. You know, you talk about relationship readiness. It's kind of what I've often thought about. I don't know. Do you have anything along those lines as well, or something totally different I hadn't thought about?
I mean, I guess the only other thing which would be that I was kind of totally different. What I had found, it said that, you know, you need to let the little things slide. You know, you can't like every single little thing about the other person. You know, there may be small quirks that, you know, you have to accept or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you can't be annoyed by everything they do. Otherwise, it's going to cause tension and all this kind of stuff. So I thought that was a pretty good one. Probably different than what you just mentioned, but...
Well, not really, though. I mean, I think that's part of the having good relationship skills, where you're able to take the person as a whole and be realistic about it. I mean, there was one guy I was dating. He was not the brightest bulb in the box by any stretch, but he was a sweetheart, and he gave great hugs, you know, and so... And he was just really cool to hang out with. And at a certain point, I had to realize this is not husband material for me. He'd be a good friend. And while his pipe game was strong, it was real strong. You know, he had ability to digmatize. He was skilled.
Okay, well.
Yeah, but I also recognize that that was not enough to build a relationship on. And so I say, you know, I finally had to say to him, I was like, you know, I can't continue to date you. I said, if you want to hang out, that's fine, but I'm not approaching it any longer as a dating situation. And he was like, why not? And I was like, well, for starters, there's food all down the front of your shirt. You know, I don't think we're a good fit. I said, half the stuff I talk about, you're just looking at me like, what? And it's not to say that you're stupid. You're not stupid. We just have totally different interests. The stuff you talk about, I'm like, I'm trying, but it's just not interesting. I'm not all that into Jay-Z versus Nas and the East Coast, West Coast, you know, rap feud and
that rap drama. Yeah,
yeah,
rap soap opera.
Yeah, I mean, those were things that he was like, he would just start talking about, and he was so passionate about it, and he really was a rap and hip hop connoisseur. And I said to him, I was like, you know, you really need to look into like A&R or. Yeah, A&R would have been perfect for him. I mean, he was not the most polished brother, but in terms of looking at an artist and saying, hey, why don't you try this, or your image is coming off this way, he was sharp. Like, he had a gift for that. And I would have loved to have seen him pursue that, but he didn't do it. But yeah, I just said to him, I was like, you know, when you're most passionate about stuff, I am like, okay, I'm in the weeds. When I'm like going off really passionate about something, you're sitting there in the weeds. I was like, we don't fit. We don't connect. that's like, and good dick is just not enough to save the day. It was a good dick too. Damn. But yeah, it was.
You're missing it though.
Yeah, it was some good dick and some good head. My goodness, I used to climb walls trying to get away from that man. But I digress. But yeah, I don't know. And I think it was for me, I felt like, oh wow, I have really grown, because once upon a time I would have went on and had fun with that and probably dated him for a couple of years just because the dick was good.
Right. Getting digmatized.
Digmatized and overlooking all the little things that say to me, hey, red flag, red flag, red flag, red flag. I would have continued to be waving at the flag and smiling with a delirious look like we about to go to bed. But after about, I think we dated about 3 months, I was able to say, bro, this ain't gonna work. We don't fit. You're really cool. I care about you a great deal. You're an awesome guy. We don't fit. It's like you are gonna get bored to hell with me. Like, I'm getting bored to hell with you. So, I can meet you for a drink and we can hang. I might even listen to some hip-hop with you and let you just expound and talk about all the significance and irony and all these different things. Like, he could talk about that stuff, but he didn't have the vocabulary to go with it. But I knew what he meant. And so, if I was like, oh yeah, that's really ironic, he's like, huh? I was like, okay, never mind. You know, it's just like, I was like, you flowing. I don't want to stop you to explain what the hell irony is, you know. And he was like, oh, okay. And just, yeah. Great guy. He wasn't great for me. So I think that's a big thing as well. The ability to interact with someone that wouldn't be good for in a relationship with you, but you still treat them fully as a person.
Yeah.
Because folks, hell, they don't even treat people that would be a good fit for them all that well. But I see that we are a little over time at this point.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Do you have any closing thoughts on relationship readiness? I think we could probably do a part two on this.
But yep, we always say that.
We always do. I don't think we've come back to a part two yet, but we'll get there.
No, we need to. Yes.
Yeah, we'll get there.
I don't know. I just think closing remarks. The thing that stuck out to me the most when I was looking this up, and it was because I experienced it myself, is you have to be happy being single in order to be ready for a relationship. And that was so true because, you know, I took some time off after a relationship had ended, and I had just decided I'm not looking for anybody. I mean, I was happy. Things were fine. I didn't feel, it was just really just focusing on me, really, is what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And that's when it seemed to happen, kind of out of the blue. I wasn't looking for it, wasn't expecting it. So, and it gave me time to work, and while I wasn't in a relationship, it gave me time to work on things that I needed to work on, you know, things that weren't quite the way they should have been. So that was just, you know, I just think that was just my big takeaway is, you know, happy being single. And then you'll be happy when the relationship, or you potentially be happy when you get into a relationship. That's just, that was just my thing. So I think I'm rambling there, but.
No, I agree with you. I think that's a lesson I had to learn because I've been not actively seeking a relationship for the last 3-4 years now because I've just had some really heavy-duty projects in my life and career that I've been working on, and I didn't have the bandwidth to allocate to a relationship because they're hard. And I think one of the toughest things about being in a relationship are the freedoms that you surrender as a single person. You're having to make decisions based on not just what you want or what you need, but also what's best for your partner in your relationship. And that's a big shift. I think it's something that anyone in a relationship, married or otherwise, that's been around and shit's gotten deep, they'll tell you that's one of the tougher things where you have to change your mindset about your life and who's in it and who your behavior impacts, because it has an impact. It's massive. But I think definitely being content with yourself and your life as it currently is a huge factor in being ready to add someone else in their life into yours. So, and you know, if the sex is banging, let it bang, but don't build it on that. Please don't build it on that, because there is good pussy everywhere. There's go-go gadget dick everywhere. There are hurricane tongues, and you know, there are plenty of people out there with considerable talents. They may not always be wrapped in the packaging that you like, but I have to say I have had some of the best sex with some of the most unassuming looking men out there. Whereas the ones that I was like, ooh, it wasn't all that good. So, and I would say in the context of looking for someone in a relationship, sometimes that ordinary average guy is the best thing for you. Because he's actually rather extraordinary when you get to know him. He may seem very ordinary.
He just keeps it, quiet or hidden, I suppose, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, because we're visual creatures, when we first encounter folks, that's all we have to go on. So we do give a lot more credit to people that we find attractive than we should. And over time, if we decide to open our eyes, we'll see, oh, I gave you far too much credit. Or, okay, I didn't give you enough. Because I rather love your 5'8", you know, 150-pound self, you know, who was handsome but not hot. It's like, you know, it's like, you're working for me. My nipple just jumped. Let's do this. Okay. You know, it doesn't, it's not always about who's fine. It's about who has good character and who is going to be on your team when shit gets rough. That's what you're looking for. When you're ready to accept all those things, perhaps in a package that you weren't initially looking for, that's when you're ready. But if you're still willing to reject a good guy because he doesn't look like how you want him to look, or he's not exactly making the money you want him to make, because there's only so many ballers out there, there are only so many CEOs, you know, all those things, there are only so many people that are going to spend their money on labels, you're not ready. So, it's an introspective process. Look inside.
Yep.
There's a lot in there within you and within him. And that goes across the gender spectrum, I might add, and all relationship types. But okay, we are behind schedule, so let us get on to asking a barista. Yes.
Yep.
So today, let me see, did I get a name? Yes. We could use her name. So this is from Deborah.
Okay.
Okay. I'm spilling water all over myself. Yes. Okay. I'm just going to have water leaking off my beard during the reading of this letter. Deborah says, "Hey, guys. My ex and I broke up a couple of months ago. We were together for nearly a year and a half, and I supported him financially and emotionally until he got back on his feet. About 9 months into the relationship, he had a couple of jobs and was back on his feet. Yeah. Then he started pulling away from me by going out with his buddies. I know that he was talking to other girls while he was out with his buddies because they are total predators." Okay, Deborah. "For about 2 weeks."
Interesting word there, though.
Ain't it, though? Deborah letting us know she ain't playing. So she said, "For about 2 weeks after the breakup, I did not call or contact him. Shortly after that, I saw a post from him on Facebook that said he was going to a party. I called him because I felt like he..." Oh, no, you got to listen. You got to hear this. She said, "Okay. I called him because I felt like he had moved on too fast. I admit that I panicked, but I couldn't help myself." Okay, so he answers, and I tell him how I felt about his moving on so quickly. He said that he no longer has romantic feelings for me. I tried to continue the conversation, but he said that he was with his parents and would call me the next day. So I kind of, and then she puts in quotations, flipped out and called him multiple times after that.
Yeah, I knew that.
He did not answer my calls. Then he had the nerve to not call me the next day. I'm pissed that he hasn't called me back. It has been 5 days. Should I be pissed? What can I do to reestablish communication and win him back? Deborah." I will applaud Deborah for her good grammar.
Yes.
Sentence structure. Thank you. I was able to just read this one as opposed to reconstruct it on the fly.
Trying to interpret it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Y'all make me work too hard for the weekend. So, what do you have for dear Deborah? She wants to know, like, first of all, should she be pissed that he didn't call her back? And also, you know, what can she do to win her man back? She want to know. There are a lot of things I could tell Deborah, but I'll let you go first.
Well, part of the thing is like, I don't know. I mean, if you're broken up, the first thing like is if you're really broken up, he's gone his way, you've gone your way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody else has the right to dictate to somebody else when, how fast they need to move on to another relationship.
Mm-hmm.
If yours is really over, and you don't get to dictate to how long. I mean, now maybe that relationship started when you were together, and it's there's some bad feelings or whatever. But if you're broken up, you just like, it's like at a job. Once you leave a job, that old job can't call you back and say, well, you didn't do this. Can you do this now? Like, it's done. It's over. You know, that's how I see it. So it's really not, you don't get to dictate what happens after you guys are separated. I don't think you should have called him. I thought you were going to say that when she saw that he was going to a party or something, that she went over there and caused a scene. That's what I was expecting to hear about.
Oh, that would have been some good drama.
Yeah, that's what I thought was going to happen. But yeah, I don't know. I think you have a right to be upset because the relationship is over. You have a right to be upset or pissed because, yeah, because of relationships. I don't know. After that, I don't know if you should have any more expectations of him. So if you call him and he says he can call you back, I don't know. I mean, he shouldn't say he's going to call you back if he's not really going to. I know that's a big thing. It happens a lot. But at the same time, I don't think there should be an expectation or expectation he's going to do that. I just don't think so. I mean, to me, I get it. But you got to figure a way to move on.
Okay, so Deborah, the short answer is, to your first question, should you be pissed? No.
You don't think so.
Second question, what can you do to reestablish communication and win him back? That's not happening.
Nothing.
Deborah girl, first of all, I understand that there are times where we're going to encounter people that intrigue us, and they may be broken or in a rough patch in some way. We've all been there. Your guy, you started out with him, basically, you footed the bills. He's since got on his feet, and in the 18 months you guys were together, half of it, you were basically sugar mama. The other half,
yes,
he was carrying his weight, and I just find it interesting that you characterize him spending his earnings on spending time with his friends as pulling away from you. It sounds like you really kind of had him at your beck and call, which maybe is what you wanted or what you needed.
But, yeah.
But that's not how he was home, because he had no money to go anyways. Not because he wanted to be all up under you.
He really didn't have a life. I mean, I shouldn't say it like that, but didn't have much of a life because he had no money.
Yeah, well, I just think the characterization of him pulling away and also calling his friends predators, you know, which is possible, but if you're gonna basically say that your man is a hoe because his friends are hoes, then you shouldn't have gone out. You shouldn't have started a relationship with him, because did you really think he was going to abandon his friends? I don't know how much he went out with his friends during the first 9 months. I have to think he still did, just not as frequently as often as he would have liked. Yeah, because he didn't have resources to do that. Or maybe they got tired of fronting him all the time. I don't know. Or maybe nothing really changed. He was still going out with them. He just didn't have the money to maybe buy some other woman a drink or to really appeal to her in some way. That you think was supposed to get her attention and possibly get her panties to fall to her ankles on his behalf. So I just, phone call aside, you Facebook stalking him was not cute. Because it sounds like you broke this thing off with him, not the other way around. If he did break it off with you, I don't know why you would think he would just be to pieces forever and a day. Because it sounds like for half of your relationship, you got on his damn nerves. But I could be wrong. You know,
well,
every detail's included.
Yeah, and the one thing I didn't say earlier, I mean, I could see her, Miss Deborah, being upset if she helped somebody get back on her feet. And so she, you know, supported him financially and emotionally and all that kind of stuff, and now he's gone. I could kind of see being upset that, I guess she feels used in a way.
But she didn't say that, though. Like, if she felt that, I think she didn't exactly say that. I could see how the inference could be made, but I feel like if that was really how she felt, she would have said that.
Well, I don't know. I just...
It's possible she may not have felt like she needed to articulate it that way, like, he used me. But it's like, half of the time that they were together, he was trying to get his act together. He got it together for the other half of the relationship. And as soon as he starts to assert any sort of independence, she clearly felt threatened. So, I don't know. You could be right. I could be reading it wrong. I mean, that's the thing about letters, if you can't ask questions.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, she just... I'm just like, Deborah, he gone, girl. And I think that if you said to him that his buddies were predators, or all the times you accused him of basically cheating on you by interacting with these other women, I could see how he could move on relatively quickly, because a good portion of the time that he was still in a relationship with you and you were making all these accusations, he was falling out of love with you. So that's why he was able to, and that's how he was able to move on so quickly. I'm going to pause for a second because my nephew is at the door.
Okay.
Dang it. He in his drawers again. So, okay, continue. I'm sorry.
You were in the middle of saying something.
Was I? Oh, gosh. Okay. I don't remember what I was saying. But, yeah, I would just say that I think he was already falling. He was able to get over it because he'd already fallen out of love with you during those 9 months that you were working his nerves. And I don't know the other side of the story. However, it seems to me that he tried to hang in there with you and probably reassured you that he was not doing all these other things. And you just refused to believe him. But I think it was also very telling that after 2 weeks, you felt like he was still supposed to be sick and shut in and not doing anything. You didn't say he was going to a party with another woman. He was just going to a party.
Well, yeah, she didn't. Yeah. So in my mind, I thought that was with his buddies. I didn't even think woman, but that could be.
Yes, you know? But I felt like if he were indeed going out to a party with some woman, she would have said that. I just feel like.
Yeah. So in my mind, it was his buddies, not a woman.
Yeah, she felt like.
That's how I took it.
He was supposed to feel as bad as she did for as long as she did, and it's like he felt badly while he was with you, girl. He's done. He's ready to move on. And so I feel for you, but
me too.
Yeah, I just feel like you really, when you, regardless what he may or may not have done, because he could be a piece of shit, based on the evidence available to us, you called this man based on a Facebook status, told him that you didn't appreciate him going out so soon, because he couldn't possibly be over you. And he said he couldn't talk to you. And that he was with his parents. So he was going to a party with his parents, girl.
Oh, is that what? Oh, I said I didn't get that part. I missed that part.
I believe. Yeah, I think he. Let me see here.
Well, I think he was at the parents' house when she called him. Possibly. That's what I.
Yeah, it just said here, I tried to continue the conversation, but he said that he was with his parents and would call me the next day. So it's possible that he was at his parents' house before he was going to a party elsewhere.
Yeah, that's how I took it.
That makes sense. I mean, you know, I can be a little rough at times. in my mind, it draws conclusions. But it's like he's already said he's going to do something else. You're his ex. That you did a no contact on him for 2 weeks. He thought he was in the clear, and here you come, Facebook stalking, talking shit, getting hysterical, you know, calling him, and he's like, "I'll call you later."
Yeah, going crazy.
You call him back several times and flip out, you know, and then you mad that he won't answer your call. He's already told you he was busy and couldn't talk to you. So I don't get it. But okay, girl. It's your world.
Yeah.
You rock it. as best you can. So, yeah, I don't know. I just, ooh. Yeah. But, yeah, girl, Deborah, it's over. Find you another man. But, and more importantly, get in touch with what it is that's really going on with you, because your letter inspires me to think that there may be some issues and some baggage.
Maybe she was stigmatized.
Yeah, you know, and you don't want to share that dick with nobody else. And I understand, you know, I've come across some stuff I didn't want to share either. However, you can't claim it like that. If you're trying to possess him like that, you'll never have him. But yeah, so you really shouldn't be pissed, as you put it. And it's time to move on from him. We wish you the best, girl. We really do.
I agree.
Yeah. So why don't we go in and help a brother out? It's like we beat up on Deborah enough.
Time for help. Whole thing. Brother out. I need to give this one a name again. I don't know what.
Okay. We can either. I think we can go with Rufus or Cleophas.
Cleophas.
Okay. I'm sorry to all the Cleophases out there.
I know. There's probably a few. I'm sure there's a few.
There are a few.
Yes. All right. So Cleophas has fallen in love. He met while he was on a cruise.
Okay. Trouble.
Ever since the cruise ended, he's been talking and texting with this guy nonstop.
Oh, Cleophas.
The thing is that Cleophas has a husband.
Damn it, Cleophas.
I know. So he says, I know. He says, my husband and I are very happy together. So this has come completely out of left field.
Okay.
I love both of them very much. But my husband does not know about this other guy. The other guy, the guy from the cruise, knows about my husband, but wants me to leave him. The guy from the cruise lives a couple of hundred miles away. I don't want to lose either man, but I don't know what to do. Please help.
Cleophas. Okay, Cleo. We're going to shorten that to Cleo.
Yes, I almost did that too.
Yeah, Cleo. Okay, so my first question.
Where do you start?
Did you settle when you selected a husband? Because if you did,
that
then
could be.
Maybe you need to go and investigate this cruise relationship. If you, in fact, married for love because he was the one for you, and you have suddenly been enchanted by this new stranger, that may be all it is, enchantment. Is there something he's doing for you that the husband isn't? Is he feeling a need? If so, you may want to have a conversation with your husband about the needs that are being unmet.
Yeah.
Furthermore, if you are a polyamorous sort of guy...
Well, he didn't say that, but...
he didn't say it, but he don't want to lose him. He wants to have a husband and a piece.
Both.
And again, I understand. Philosophically, I've not been in that situation, my damn self. But I feel like it would be, like, excruciatingly interesting. You know, have you, if you just have to have this other guy in your life, and maybe it's a fire that is burning very bright, and eventually it's going to go out, maybe you need to get a hall pass or negotiate an open marriage with your husband, if that's what the two of you can agree upon. If you do that, I would say to you that you need to actually let the husband know that this guy predates the arrangement that you guys have negotiated. Which could result in him saying, fuck no, not with him.
Yeah, because I don't know if that's going to work.
Perhaps you need... but see, all of it, where you basically are introducing this guy to the husband, it could be in a three-way, but I feel like it would be really dirty and disingenuous to have this three-way and be like, oh yeah, by the way, I met him on a cruise, and I'm really into him. Did he have sex with this guy?
He didn't say, but, I mean,
it
to me, if you're...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and to me, I would say, see, now this is one of those things where we don't have all the details, because was the husband on the cruise? I'm assuming the husband was not on the cruise. So I guess he went with friends on the cruise?
Probably.
And the husband stayed at home?
Sounds like
which
it.
Is why the husband wouldn't suspect anything. So, in my way, if he's saying he loves him and doesn't want to lose him, to me, I think they've already did the thing on the cruise.
I have to
that's
think
what
so.
I'm gonna, yeah. That's what I'm going to say. And, yeah, to me, I mean, I think I have to go with... Well, again, we don't have enough information, but it might be kind of tricky if you're trying to talk about a polyamorous thing, but you're trying to make it, I guess, retroactive as his, you know, you're trying to go back, you know, before the agreement happened. I don't know. But that may be what's needed. It's such a weird, I don't want to say weird thing, but it's kind of a twisted thing because, you know, it's difficult. Part of me says, well, how much do you really know this guy on the cruise, from the cruise?
Well, yeah.
You know, how much do you know him versus how much you know your husband? Because, you know, he might have shown his best, the best side of himself while he's on the cruise, and the rest of the time he's a complete jerk.
Yeah, he definitely cruised with the representative.
He could be.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He did.
And he wants you to leave your husband.
Yeah, that's raggedy.
For him.
Raggedy. You know.
So, I don't know. He might leave you for somebody else after you leave your husband. So, I don't know. It just sounds...
Yeah. My question is, Cleo, are you happy with your husband and your marriage? Because if you are...
Well, he said that.
You got to cut this fool loose.
He said, my husband and I are very happy, so this has come completely out of left field.
And I just have to think, okay, so either... If you want a relationship with both of these men, then you need to be honest about it. And the reality is, there is no way for you to enter into a relationship that could end up being a throuple with integrity without telling your husband that this relationship
started on the cruise.
His awareness. Yeah. Like, you could bring him in as a third party and as someone that you met. I just don't know how a husband would feel about knowing, oh, you met someone else on a cruise, and even if you didn't sleep with him, you've been in communication with him since the cruise, and now you're quote-unquote in love with him. How are you in love? You must have, you know, because you didn't fall in love with me until after you got the dick. So what? And so I just... Cleo, it's messy.
Yeah, very messy.
It's really messy. Now, if your relationship is already open and you're having feelings for this guy as a violation, like if it's open that you can play and have your fun but no emotional entanglements, it's still a bit of limbo, but it's at least understandable. But the way this has been presented, you doing some dirty things in the background and your marriage is at stake. So I think that, as I said initially, if you settled for your husband, if he's not really the love of your life, your soulmate, whatever those things are, then it's time for you to have a conversation with him anyway. Because this other guy could be that person, or he could just be the one that got your loins on fire.
I have a feeling it's the latter.
He could be. Quite possibly. And it just seems to me that this is a wake-up call for you and whether your marriage survives or not. Because if you're not supposed to be married to your husband, then you need to let him go so he can find someone who he's supposed to be with. So it's not just about you possibly having sex with someone else or having feelings for someone else. It's also about how you feel about your husband in the first place. That is the more important question to me in the letter. Because if it was just sex, you would have bust your nut on the cruise and been like, all right, well, this was fun. You know, I'll add you on Twitter, you know. But no, y'all exchange phone numbers. it sounds like because he's a couple hundred miles away, y'all had met once or twice.
Yeah, he didn't say that, but that could be.
Yeah, that wasn't said, but it just kind of was. I saw it when I was hearing the letter. That y'all have met at a Wendy's, you know, somewhere between your residences, or a Hardee's, or you know, a Farmer Boy somewhere, even a McDonald's.
Yeah, maybe.
But yeah, y'all have. This is not. Yeah, this is just. You either are looking for a relationship with both of these men, or how you feel about this new guy is calling into question the legitimacy of how you feel about your husband. And those are two big issues that you really have got to address. Truly. You got to get that together. So, Cleo, I do not envy your position. Mm-hmm. I do think that it's time for you to search your soul and figure out what your husband means to you and what your marriage means to you. And then what this other guy truly means to you. Because if he's just a piece of ass that you've enjoyed immensely because your husband don't give you any, or... you know, his stroke game is just superb and he done broke your back.
It must have.
On multiple occasions. And, you know, and your husband's stroke just don't do that for you. Or he listens to you in ways that your husband cannot or will not. Whatever it is that he's adding to your life, you need to determine whether you can get that from your husband or not. And if you can't, and that's what you need, you got to let the husband go. You didn't choose well. I hate to advocate for ending a relationship, but
well,
it won't be the first. This isn't the first, and it will not
you
be
might,
the last.
But you might be right, though.
Yeah, I just, you know. Yeah, that's a question I often have to ask when I see people. There's just body language I pick up on and things like that. I'm like, that is not as it appears. So, Cleo, just based on your words and your acts, I have to wonder, did you choose well? And don't get all caught up in the cruise, man, because that could be rebound. That could be true love. But go into it with your eyes open. Don't be no fool. And also recognize that you have not met him yet. You have only been dealing with his representative. You've not met him yet. You love what he's presented,
yes.
But hang in there and see what happens when shit gets crazy. When the chain is broken and the dog is running around the yard acting a fool, that's when you want to know, do I still love this motherfucker? Because if you don't, get the step.
Got to move on.
Yep. But first and foremost, you must talk to your husband, baby.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Got to talk to the husband.
All right.
That's all I got for
me,
Cleo.
Me too.
All right.
All right.
Sorry to get all up in your business, Cleo.
Yeah, well, he sent the letter, so, yeah.
He did send the letter, but I could have just said, well, no, Cleo, you don't want to do that, and been quiet. But, you know, I didn't went into, that's all right. I do have some degree of training to do this kind of
yes.
thing.
Yes.
And a feel for it, but yeah. But I'm not licensed, and I am not presenting myself as your therapist. There. Disclaimer added. Yes. So, you want to take us home?
All right. So, if you want to send us an email for either Ask a Brista or Help a Brother Out, go ahead and send us an email to sexualhealingpod@gmail.com and we just may give you our advice.
Just maybe. And
just maybe.
Yeah. And
you may be one of the lucky ones.
You might be, or in some cases, unlucky.
Yeah.
But, you know, I suspect that as our audience grows, we'll get a wider spectrum of letters because, you know, you always get the crazy drama. And just having a wider breadth of topics to choose from. But we appreciate all letters, though. So don't think that we don't want to hear from you because we do. Yeah, so if you want to reach out to us in a slightly more interactive forum, we are on Facebook at Sexual Healing from Top to Bottom. We are on Twitter as Pod Sexual. We are also on Instagram as Sexual Healing Pod. And we certainly ask you to subscribe using your favorite podcast aggregator. And we are on Apple Podcasts. We're on Stitcher. We're on Google Play Music. And available through most podcasting apps that you can find. Definitely share an episode of our show with a friend of yours that you think might appreciate it. We also ask you and that friend to rate the show. You know, we love 4 or 5 stars if we're worthy of it. If it's a 1 star or 2 star, we'd rather you kind of send us an email saying, hey, this is what I don't like about your show, so we can get better.
Right.
And, you know, but if we have moved you in such a way, we certainly invite you to write a review for us, particularly on Apple Podcasts, because that is the largest podcasting platform out there. And, yeah, so thanks again for hanging out with us. We hope that your hump day is a good one, or has been a good one, and that you can finish the week strong.
Yes.
So, close us out, Dark Boy. I've talked enough today.
Nope, that was it. I just, you know, just the main topic, you know, if you are, you know, looking for a relationship, just make sure you're actually ready. Don't settle like Cleopas did. We suspect he did.
Yeah,
don't go crazy like Miss Deborah did. You know,
Deborah.
Just, you know, take some time. Know yourself, know what you want, and, you know, go from there.
Yeah, and don't settle for nobody who be eating clam chowder and a clam fall out their damn mouth because they can't chew with their mouth closed. And furthermore, don't be settling, you know, for that brother that always forgets his damn wallet. How you forget your wallet? And you go
you didn't really forget it. That's just them trying not to pay for stuff.
I'm just adding my last little bits, you know, because I'm feeling a little rambunctious. So, yeah. But y'all, have a good one. Keep it sexy and keep it healing. And we will catch y'all next week.
Until next time, everybody.